Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello and welcome to Star Guys. I am a Star Guy. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Pete.
Also a Star Guy. Just if we, he's not like a guest or anything. We are flying without our number one Star Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Dad, so let's get wild, let's get loose, and let's, of course, talk about a show we love, Stargirl.
Yeah.
Lots happening, feeling like we're really building up to a crescendo here.
Yeah, the end of summer. I mean, you know, summer school has got to be winding down by now, you know?
Yeah, and you know what comes after that? Regular school, which is less fun.
The worst.
Yeah. Death the worst. This is, of course, chapter 10 in
right.
Stargirl, bringing us the return of a character we met earlier on this season, Jenny, or I guess we're calling her probably Jade eventually. And we
Green
got
Lantern.
To one of the potential Green Lanterns here. Another term that people don't love to use in the DC universe. Green Lantern? There was a feature film of that title.
Oh, don't bring that up. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Nobody wants to talk about that. Alex, our third host, famously likes that movie.
Yeah, for some ridiculous reason. I think he's the only guy who's seen it more than once.
Indeed. Let's give a little bit of recap here about where we are with Stargirl.
Decades ago.
There's a lot of recap. One thing I've liked about this season is sort of fleshing out the mythology here. But before we get to that, let's just talk about what's going on in the show in general. Stargirl Courtney has had to go to summer school, but in fact, she hasn't actually attended a lot of class.
Well, I'm sure she has. We're just not there for the boring stuff. You know what I mean? We don't need to see her go to class and kind of sit there and maybe do some doodles while she's, you know, pretending to listen, you know, that kind
you
of
think
stuff.
In the midst of this chaos, she's like, I got a really important catch up on the Teapot Dome scandal. I got to get to my social studies summer course.
Wow.
I'm going to doodle my way through
social
it.
Studies.
Social studies. Remember?
A long time ago, bro.
Long time ago.
I want to talk about the
hold
beginning
on,
right, of
let me,
the
let me do some recap. Let me do some recap before we get there. Courtney, her cosmic staff, after a battle with Eclipso.
Not feeling too well.
Slowly getting its power back, but perhaps not in time. In that same battle, the Shade, a new character, also from the comics, who was a villain, was in the Injustice Society, but is maybe we're starting to think, like, maybe a little bit of a nice guy, maybe trying to be on the right side here, has some beef with Eclipso, and was fatally injured, it seemed, in that fight, the big confrontation where Eclipso emerged. But maybe not, as we learned this episode, something else is going on. Fleshing out the rest of the fam here, we've got Pat, former sidekick to Starman. We've gotten a lot of great info about his backstory. We've seen some Starman, Stripesy, as he was known.
Mm-hmm.
In this show, he has a giant robot suit, which he hasn't really done much in. Am I right this season? I feel like
he kind of left the suit. You know, it was just kind of like, oh, man, there's no need for a giant robot.
But is there? And like a lot of suits, sometimes fathers pass them on to sons. And maybe that's what we're getting here to tip the handle a little bit. Because we have a character named Mikey, who is last season we know was mostly just a snacker.
I mean, come on. When you're a kid, it's your whole life is snacks and treats. I mean, maybe not when you're a kid. Maybe, you know, it's something you look forward to all the time. But I'm just saying.
I was going
to
say, Pete, as someone who is not a kid, you all talk about snacks a lot.
Yeah.
You're our snacker in chief here. That's why I feel like Mikey is one of your favorite characters on the show. Mikey struggling with the fact that he straight up killed a supervillain last season.
Accidentally.
But he it seemed like it was on purpose, and we revealed earlier this season that it was an absolute accident. But the guilt he's feeling is no accident. He's been trying to get back into the superhero game in two different ways. He had the Thunderbolt. Magic genie, another legacy character he had for one episode this season and was passed on. And it seems like he's been trying to make himself comfortable in a little robot suit as well. Yeah. Maybe we'll get to see some more of in the coming episodes. We've got Barbara, played by, I forget, some sort of actress.
Come on, dude. Respect the smart, dude. Come on.
Respect the smart. She has been working at a company called The American Dream that she worked at last season for Icicle. Last episode struggled with sort of the ramifications of Icicle's work there. And she's been sort of getting a little cozy with Shade this season. Watch your tone. Cozy with Icicle last season, cozy with Shade this season. Come on, Mike. Likes the cold objects. She loves a shade. She loves an icicle.
Don't put that on Barb. Come on, man.
Come on. When you have a real firecracker like Pat Dugan in
that's
the house,
right.
Yes, that guy's just all heat. Some of the other characters
in
the
show.
I can't
wait to talk about the last shot with you.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. some of the other characters in the show, Yolanda, a.k.a. Wildcat, she has given up the game after the ramifications of Eclipso. She's out. We've got our man, Rick Tyler. Rick Tyler is also my uncle, but this is a different Rick Tyler. He's actually a second cousin once removed, but we call him Uncle Rick, and that's fine. We've all come to terms with that.
Sure. Is Uncle Rick also in prison, like the Rick in this one?
It has been. I also have a cousin Rick that my kids call Naughty Naughty Ricky, and the second naughty means it's trouble.
I also have a cousin Rick, by the way.
My cousin Rick has firecrackers in his pocket all the time.
Wow.
Even in the winter.
I don't talk to my cousin Rick.
Maybe it's the same person. Yeah. So as I was saying, Rick Tyler has been locked up for what Eclipso did to him. He beat his brother up real bad a couple episodes back and has been in jail. And we can talk about that later on. Who else? Jenny Jade is a Green Lantern. We said that earlier. What's that? Of course, Beth, who has been using her goggles to make sure her parents are real, which is something we all do.
Yeah, that's definitely real.
And also occasionally communicating with the real Charles McKnight, or Dr. Midnight, who has been stuck in the Shadowlands for a generation, basically.
Well, you can tell because the shot of him is with a flip phone, kind of walking through what seems to be some kind of storm, a shadow storm. So, yeah, he's been there a while.
Yeah, a little-known fact about the Razor telephone from back cell phone. They actually can communicate across dimensions and fit right in your pocket. Perfect phone.
You know, a lot of people think phones peaked at the Razor, and you know there's no need to continue.
Exactly. Could they make a phone that thin even today? I don't know. I don't know. Phones are getting bigger. Am I right? So let's talk. So that's a lot of recap. Let's talk about the episode where we get decades ago. We've seen this a few times throughout the season, and I love the backstory.
You love a good backstory. Yeah.
I love a good backstory. We get to see Starman. I mean, we came to Stargirl. We get to see Joel McHale, who, news item, was recently upped to main character for season 3 of the show.
Yeah. I mean, people want more McHale.
Yeah.
We got to talk about it. You know, anytime you see somebody you know show up with the six-pack, shit's about to, you know, unless it's a planned kind of event, like, okay, come over for my Halloween party or whatever it is. You know, if somebody just shows up with a six-pack, shit's about to get real. That was very triggering for me. I don't know how you, like, once you see that six-pack, you know, like, there's going to be some monologues, there's going to be some emotions, you know, I mean,
The person bringing the six-pack will often open one beer and then just start talking.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to
you gotta
sip
go
the other five.
Yeah, you got to get your own.
And I got to say, Pat Stripesy, sort of a major part of this scene, is Starman's sidekick. the main hero should always be the one buying the sixer. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. Like,
the sidekicks there, that's one of the only benefits of being a sidekick is you don't have to buy the beer.
Yeah, the free beer, I mean.
Yeah. A couple of road sodas for when you got stuck. I mean, Stripesy's whole thing is wearing a striped shirt. So. Right.
And we got to see a collection of striped shirts in this ep. So
you
got to
have a clean one.
You know, some the people might call you Waldo, but you know, you got to keep.
That's right. Easy to make fun of Pat Dugan. Yeah. No doubt about that. Those striped shirts also, they don't even look like there's any sort of spandex. They look like regular white, regular striped shirts.
Just regular shirts, man. There's nothing wrong with a regular shirt.
He's like in
a hero in any shirt you want, man.
That's 100%. He's like an Old Navy, walking Old Navy commercial. Yeah. This whole scene is about family, how family isn't, you make your own family. Starman boosts up Pat, telling him he taught himself to think, taught himself to be a man. He's more than a friend. He's a brother. He doesn't want the fall of the JSA to ever come between their two-man family. What do you think about that? Their chosen two-man family. Because in a lot of ways, Pete, you and I are a family.
Oh, boy.
We've chosen to be here right now together.
It's true.
We are a family. I wish we had a sixer to digitally share. Oh,
man, that would be a little too much for me. Here's the thing. The cheers to chosen family was very touching. Mm-hmm. It was nice. And it was tough because Joel McHale was giving this monologue, like showing how beaten down he was by having to kill somebody. So it was a little hard to be like, you know, man, you're my brother. You're my family and to chosen family. Like there was a little, you know, a sadness that kind of ruined a very nice moment. But man, you know, that it was cool to hear Joel McHale say that about Stripesy, because before he's been treating Stripesy like shit. And part of me was thinking, this isn't Joel McHale. This is like the Shade or somebody evil kind of like pumping up this because it doesn't feel like what we've seen thus far. But I'm glad it was like a real moment.
But Starman doesn't seem super nice. He hasn't been
does
like.
Not.
No. And in this, he definitely has a heart to heart, but I think he is feeling some sort of post murder family connection stuff. And you know, this sort of theme of you choose your family, it feels like it is going to be sort of, we're going to get that again. That's maybe the theme for this whole season, but right now the family is fully split apart. The new JSA and even the Dugan family. I mean,
well, that was a nice cut where it was like two chosen family and then it kind of cuts to present day family, you know, fighting each other, yelling at each other. So it was I thought it was a fun transition.
And what they're fighting about is Courtney and to a lesser extent, Mikey are mad because they can't believe that Pat and the rest of the JSA killed Bruce Gordon.
We're okay with it.
Yeah, we're okay with that. And Pat doesn't really have a good answer. He's like, we voted. We didn't want to. And I was like,
but that was interesting because Pat didn't, he could have been all like, I tried to stop them. They're, you know, they have superpowers. I don't. What was I going to do? Like, he didn't, he was just kind of sitting there being like, letting Court kind of like work through it, which I thought was very like mature of Pat and kind of like smart. Instead of fight it the whole way, he was kind of letting her kind of discover all the facts. And the, you know, he did stand up and was like, this is fucking wrong. You guys out of your gourd, you know?
He does take ownership of it, even, and it does sort of, he has to pay a price for it with his relationship with Courtney. We get the scenes later in the episode of the awkward car ride. You know,
I don't know why you would call that awkward, because that car is fucking nice, dude.
Well, the humans were awkward, I guess, sure. If you want to. I don't know. Pete, obviously, you see cars first and humans second.
Yeah.
So it's hard. But let me ask you, did you feel, when did you have an awkward car ride like this with one of your parents? I feel like that's definitely a thing of that, like, someone's mad, we're not going to talk in the car, but we have to be in the car together because that's how you go places.
Yeah. I mean, that was most family vacations. We would drive.
Just silence.
You know, yeah, just complete silence as rage boiled. You know what I mean?
Mm.
But yeah, how about you? Do you have a story that you're kind of itching to tell there?
No, I mean, we've had, but my dad picked me up once from a school dance. Mm-hmm. And we were driving a couple hours to go see some family, just the two of us, and drove for a long time, quiet. And then he was like, do I need to have that sex talk with you? And I was like, no. He was like, great.
Great.
He just rode the rest of the way in silence.
He and never now, gave you the talk after that?
No. Hey, let me, that's why I'm here, fam, two-man fam. What is sex? And if you don't want to. I appreciate hearing a boiled down version of it.
It sounds like you've got it covered, so it sounds like you're doing great, and okay, I support you.
I don't know. So they, Pat and Courtney, to follow up the rest of their storyline, they're driving down, they're trying to track down Jenny, because Pat believes that her powers can reform the Eclipso ring, because Shade tells them, of course, that's how you get him back in prison. So
Shade sending them on the old, oh yeah, put the diamond that is broken back together. That's a horrible idea from the start. I'm a little disappointed everybody was cool with that. Like, oh yeah, that thing that broke apart and then everything got calm for a little while, we're going to try to put that back together. That's the plan.
But, I mean, I can't fault them for that. It makes sense. Eclipso was imprisoned in that diamond. He clearly wanted to get out of it. But to take it back early in the episode, Shade drops into the Dugan household.
Drops is a good word there. Not his best entrance.
Cease, not his best interest, by his own words. He smashes the family island, which has already been smashed
a ton of times.
Like, this thing is, it's a magnet.
Pat's got to be at Home Depot so often, man. It's
this guy is, he's definitely, like, he knows everyone's name there. He knows which aisle to go down, which I find hard to remember when I'm going to buy my supplies, because I'm a handyman.
Sure. Let me ask you, though. I really appreciated how once Shade showed up, Barb was all business. She was like, why are you here? You know what I mean? She didn't have any time for shenanigans.
But she's defending. She's defending Shade.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it was, you know, she was right. He saved her in that car. That could have been an icy tomb for her, but she made it out with Shade's help.
So I think Barb taking Shade's side is what gets Pat and Courtney to be like, well, first off, they try to blast the diamond shards with her staff. I was like, how is this ever going to work?
I don't know.
It's like if you break a vase, it's like, well, let's put it in the microwave. Be like, okay, we could try that. Oh, it didn't work? Yes, why? It's not how things go back together.
I tell you what did work, though, is Mikey's sick burn on Shay calling him Benedict Cumberbatch. I mean, that was – you had to feel that burn.
That was a sick compliment, though, right? Don't you think he was just like, wow, you are like Benedict Cumberbatch, an actor of renown?
Oh, I guess.
Mikey's changed this season. He doesn't do sick burns. He doesn't eat. He does sick compliments, and he's fast.
I was really hoping, well, we'll get there, but I was hoping we would get a little Mikey kind of reverted back to his old self a little bit later in the episode. But
well, let's keep talking about Pat and Courtney's journey. They go to Civic City, where JSA headquarters is. Civic City, fun name for a city.
Only one place Pat would go. I like that. It's a big city. That was a fun kind of like, you know, we know where she's headed. So that was a cool, great idea. And plus we got to see the entrance that the car gets to make into that garage. I mean, I could watch that every episode. I don't know about you, but that was just awesome.
Again, Pete just loves cars. No doubt about that.
Come on, though. It was cool.
You like when cars aren't even driving. You like when they're just like on a little car elevator.
Just kind of riding up. That was so cool. And you could see Courtney's face was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
What do you think about people elevators? Pretty fun too, right?
Nope.
Okay. So they track down Jenny. She's been staying in the JSA headquarters. She's trying to track down her brother, Todd. They follow that thread, go to this strange institute with that like little flute playing guy.
The Helix Institute, yeah.
Yeah. The people there are dressed oddly.
Yeah, the head nurse who clearly looks like a supervillain. You would like to think Pat would pick up on some of this eventually. You know what I mean?
Not good. Not a good, not much of a detective. Yeah. Not a huge, not putting it together. They did dress strange. Nurse Love. We find out later. So they meet Jenny. Funny coincidence that she's there at the same time. Todd, her brother. Yeah, just happens to be there. Todd, her brother, not there. She's trying to track him down. They're like, hey, would you help us fuse this diamond together? No questions asked. Her powers are out of control, but she tames them long enough to blast the diamond back together. And at the same time, we learn that that's a very bad idea because Beth's doing some research. Not only does it summon Eclipso, but Shade tricked them to heal himself, which he does, and then he vanishes, puts his thumb right in Barbara's eye on his way out the door, and Eclipso is there. So, like, let's just talk about that side of it real quick. What do you think the Shade's a straight-up villain now?
Well, that's the thing. He's been helping, so I don't know what this was about. It seemed like maybe when his eyes went all black, it wasn't Shade. It was Eclipso. But hopefully once Shade is healed, he can get back on the right side of things and kind of help. But, yeah, the fact that we got to see, like, old-school comics Eclipso in this was kind of surprising. Like, he was straight-up Jester Eclipso, which I was surprised about.
Yes.
I mean, if you were going to fight a villain, wouldn't you feel a little bit better if they were dressed as a Jester?
Like a funny villain? I feel better? No, I'd feel, like, made fun of. I want a villain to be dressed, like, scary.
Oh, okay.
With, like, extra knives. And, like, so if I were to take a picture right as before the fight, I'd send it to friends. They'd be like, whoa, dude, watch out.
You're in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah. I take a picture of a Jester villain and send it to friends. They're like, who are you goofing around with?
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's scary. He has a diamond and he has a funny hat.
Half a face.
Half a face. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Shade is being taken over by Eclipse. So I think what Shade's doing here is he tricks them. We got some great backstory on the Shade in this episode as well, which I thought was a really fun sequence. Get to find out through Beth's research with her goggles. We find out that he was involved in a ceremony with these dudes wearing the Men of Tears. He made a fake diamond. He was a con man.
Smart.
Smart. But it sort of bit him in the ass in some ways when he was taken he was captured and then sacrificed to try to bring about Eclipso. Because the diamond was fake, the vessel shattered and the dark shadows went into him.
So that kind of blew up on his face. But I think it was smart because, you know, real diamonds, you know, I mean, don't support that industry. You know what I mean? Like, you really should, try to get something else, you know?
Yeah, famously, you make all of your jewelry yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of the same thing. Have you been making any jewelry at all or, like, any particular rings?
I've been really kind of working on my glass blowing, you know what I mean? Like taking old 40 bottles and then kind of turning them into different kind of like plant type kind of like pots and stuff like that. So it's been pretty cool.
That's really using the whole buffalo to take all those old 40 bottles. Pete exclusively drinks 40s. When you sit down for a six packs with Pete, it's a six pack of 40s and one's getting up and going.
Cole 45, preferably, you know, Mickey's fine malt liquor. I'm not above any steel reserve. You know what I mean? Like, bring it.
Great. Great. With a couple of free commercials there for those malt liquor brands. But to talk about what we're talking about, I think Shade is not going to he's needed to be fixed. He was tricked them into fixing him, but he's still trying to stop Eclipso. I don't think he's working with Eclipso. I don't think he is a bad guy. I think he had to do a little bit of deceit to get back on the healthy side, which we've all tricked someone into healing ourselves, right? Every time I go to the doctor, I have to trick them into fixing me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's really tricky because then insurance doesn't want to help, but you got to get them in there. It's a nightmare.
You don't need insurance as long as you can pull a prank on your doctors and dentists every time you need something done. Yeah. And that's a fine way to live your life. talking about the Jade or Jenny of it all, her, for those of you that don't know the comics that a lot of these characters are based on, her brother is a guy named Todd Rice, who we hear about a lot in this episode, and he is a hero named Obsidian who also has shadow power. So I feel like we're going to meet him pretty soon, and he is going to perhaps even be in the Shadowlands, a place where Dr. McKnighter has been, and a place where I suspect Courtney, who was gooped at the end of the episode.
Oh, man, she got gooped.
She got gooped.
Now we're not talking about Gupta. We're saying, you know,
no, gooped. Not Gupta. Sanjay Gupta, no. She got gooped the same way what's that?
I was going to say, not also the, you know, the website there where you can get all those, like, really well-made products. We're not talking about that either.
Oh, wow. Are you doing a commercial for Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, feel free to fit. I know you work extensively with them.
Yeah.
But part-time. Back to the goop. Back to the goop in Stargirl. She got gooped where she may find, I suspect, Cindy Berman, who also got gooped.
I thought she would find Dr. Midnighter because he's in the storm. You know what I mean?
I think she's going to find all of these people. I think she may end up either encountering Jenny's brother, Todd Rice, in the Shadowlands, or he may be the person who can pull them out. Once they meet them, I think this is sort of feels like the low point. The last image we have here is poor Pat just on his knees whispering the name Courtney. They're not getting along, and that's the way they sort of end he thinks she may be dead.
All right, but come on, though. So, like, if you're, you know, sitting there and your daughter falls through the goop, I mean, are you just going to quietly be like, no?
No. I was surprised how quiet he was.
No.
I would speak at full volume.
No. You know what I mean? Because that's a choice. Like, it's interesting because I think maybe going like, no, Courtney, you know, but maybe that's too rookie. Like a veteran move is to really just kind of take like, no.
Well, you know what? Maybe they turned it over to the man himself, Luke Wilson, and were like, hey, take this however you want to play it.
Yeah.
Take it high, take it low, baby.
And he was like, listen, I got 5 minutes before I gotta leave, so let's just crank this out, huh?
Yeah. Did you see Luke in the season premiere of SNL?
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Did you feel that?
I did.
Are you feeling that?
It was it was nice to see supporting the Wilson brothers out supporting each other. That was cool.
Yeah.
Luke Wilson acting choices aside, it was super sad to see Courtney fall down that goop hole. And, it was crazy that we didn't get to see Grundy in this episode, but we did get to see Eclipso. So that was nice.
Well, let's talk about that in a sec. But I do think this is the family couldn't be further split. They're split across dimensions at this point. Mm-hmm. So I think in a show that can be a little goofy, and we'll talk about some goofy things in a sec, I think that they do the sad moments well, the dark moments well. Every episode has these like just moments where you just feel for every character. And in this moment, that it feels like they're at their low point, and now it's time to bring everybody back together, rally everyone, both in the shadow dimension and in regular dimension. Everyone needs to start coming together.
Yeah.
And we get some elements here in the show that I think are going to be big parts of that. You mentioned one of them. Rick's in jail. He's getting apples thrown in his cell window.
Come on, man. That's just very, so nice. Grundy returning the favor. That's adorable.
Yep.
No way nobody sees Grundy throwing apples into a prison.
Broad daylight.
Yeah, broad daylight.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Those are some real... not paying attention cops, not seeing a giant swamp monster who smells probably, multiple senses. You could see and smell him and hear him.
Yeah.
Throwing tiny little apples in a open-air jail cell window.
Yeah.
Very funny, very cute that Grundy's like, now I feed you, baby bird.
That was an adorable moment.
I sort of wish Grundy would chew them up and fully baby bird them into Rick's mouth.
Maybe that's what we're building towards. Don't take that away from us. It still might happen. Now,
full baby bird.
Let's talk about Beth. Okay. The goggles working, not working, on, off, talking a little bit to Dr. Midnighter. Sometimes Dr. Midnighter recognizes Beth. A lot of times, not so much. So, like, let's just fix the goggles. Am I right? Can we just get some... You know?
It does. A lot of Beth's story this season has been like, this darn thing doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
She needs to get like upgrade your cell phone, Beth, and get back to business. I do think we are there, though. I think we're going to get a whole storyline meeting in the Shadow Dimension, and Beth is going to be the conduit. Because even in the episode, Charles McConnetter's like, hey, these are suddenly working a lot better. So yeah. That's a big clue.
But also, you know, you have to be scared as a parent that your kid at one point is just going to sit you down and be like, hey, why don't you figure out your life, okay? I'm busy. You
know what I mean? And I think that happened a couple times in this episode with some characters. Like, she's like, hey, you didn't tell me about your divorce. I'm not telling you about these goggles.
Yeah,
and then,
exactly.
Which I thought was funny. And also Courtney.
It was a great
and
Beth moment, being like, yo, you're keeping shit for me. I'm going to keep shit for you.
Yeah.
How's it feel, huh?
But
does it feel
I'm
good,
Beth's,
does it?
If I'm Beth's parents, I'm like, okay, keep your goggle secret. What are you going snorkeling, Beth? Cool.
We're just trying to look out for you, Beth. People might say something if you're always wearing goggles, but hey.
And then we talked about it a little bit, but the scene with Courtney and Pat in the car, Courtney's like, hey, I need you to do better. You need to tell me what's going on in your life. And Pat's like, okay, I just had some excuses, like totally flipping the parent-teenager dynamic.
Also, I liked her moment of being like, Pat, don't shut me out. You know, just because I'm mad at you, don't use that excuse to shut me out. But also, like, the kind of moment where, like, Pat didn't have to be like, you know, sometimes you do things for your family. Like, the part where, like, you know, Jenny kind of said, like, you know, you do crazy things for your family. It's just what you do. And then Pat kind of looked at, you know, Court was like, that's what I'm fucking trying to tell you this whole time. It's not so black and white. Life has got some gray areas. Like, you got to fucking grow up, kid. Don't get on your high horse around me.
Yeah. And then I think we get the same thing with Mikey, where he's like, he's taking upon himself to go work on the armor. He's trying to, like, fix it. I think Mikey's going to end up being a big part of he's going to get his chance to be a purposeful hero and not just an accidental hero.
But, I mean, speaking of heroes, we got to talk about the radio. Radio always playing a key role in the show. Like, you know, the I'm sorry kind of moment. And then Pat was like, fine, I'll say sorry because the radio brought it up.
I feel like that's a Simpsons joke.
There's been a ton of different jokes about that.
And then we get
And then go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I lost what I was saying.
We get the weather update about the pink lightning, and then we get the full Thunderbolt genie stuff happening. Jim Gaffigan definitely coming back to reprise his role as Thunderbolt. I think very soon we get a giant gumdrop. Had to really light Mikey up.
That's the thing. Like, I really wanted just the last shot to be Mikey just running at that ginger house, like mouth open, ready to just fucking eat his way through that gingerbread house. I mean, how is that not the greatest thing? Why aren't there kids just eating the crap out of that house right now? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I hear it. When I'm hungry, I just open my mouth and run at food. That's why if you see me, if you work in a restaurant, you see me coming open mouth, I'm coming for you. Anything else you'd like to mention, Pete?
You know, we got a little bit more Mikey being Mikey in this episode. I also liked him in the robot, you know. I was a little disappointed that he kind of like skipped out right away. And he did like a tapping of the toolbox, like, oh yeah, I got that. I was like, what's in that? I don't remember what's Mikey got. Like, what's in that toolbox? I don't remember like what's in there.
I think it's just tools. I mean, tools for Pat and Mikey are real go-to. He's taking his toolbox. Sure. When Calypso appears at the end of the episode, Pat grabs a wrench and is like, maybe this'll work. And nope, it does not. He is instantly dispatched, and Calypso goops Courtney and out the door. The only other thing I wanted to bring up is we get this fun little mini short scene, confusing, doesn't really apply to anything, where the nurse in her, like, retro outfit calls someone named Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones.
Now, for those of you who don't read comics, Mr. Bones, that I feel like they're referencing, is a character from the DC universe who runs the DEO, an organization, a government organization charged with dealing with superheroes and paranormal activity. The way you can separate him from other government officials is he has just a skull.
Right.
He's just a skull with no skin over his body. Often wears a suit, often smoking. Curious, Mr. Bones has also been in Smallville, I believe. So I'm curious if we're sort of bringing a little bit of the DC show universe together, even though Smallville is sort of outside that. But either way, I'm excited for Mr. Bones to be here, maybe gesturing to a future character down the line next season. I'm curious to hear if Mr. Bones will come into play this season. It feels like maybe a larger future story to me.
Also, it was weird that this head nurse, who is clearly a supervillain, was like, oh, that person you're looking for is not here. Don't ask me any follow-up questions. But also, the other person that you need is right in this other room, and I'll be more than happy to take you. Like, why not just lie twice and be like, I don't know who you're talking about. Get out of here, sir. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that, like, she was just like, oh, I'll just say, you know, the dude is not here. But, yeah, Jenny, get her out of here. We're sick of her glowing eyes, and we don't know what to do. And also, surprisingly, in this episode, she started to get her eyes glowing, and then they were like, hey, just be calm. And that worked. And that, I don't think that's ever worked. Anytime yeah. somebody's, like, not calm, telling them to be calm is, like, kind of the worst thing you can do. So it was surprising to see it work in this episode.
Sometimes it works, I guess. Before we close out the episode, Pete, who's the star of the episode?
Well, it's hard not to say Barb. You know what I mean? Because she was doing so much.
That's not true. It's pretty easy to not say Barb.
Well, it kind of seems like it was Barb's ep.
Not a Barb-centric episode.
Yeah,
she coming off of more of a
really important part of everything that was happening. But... you know, I'm going to have to give it to Jenny. I'm excited that
really?
She's back. Yeah. You know, her saying, like, sorry for leaving was really nice. And I feel like this is going to be kind of like, all right, we're getting the team, building up the team again. So I'm excited for her to be a part of the team. And I'm hoping, you know, Yolanda's the next piece. But we will see.
Yeah. That will be something to keep our eye on because I do believe that is coming soon.
How about for you? Who's the star of the episode?
Star for me? I think I got to give it up for... I mean, this is sort of a non-answer, but just the flashbacks. I've been loving the flashbacks.
So Joel McHale is what you're saying.
Joel McHale, but also the flashback where we see Shade's origin. I feel like that those little sections really flesh out so much of the world that I really love to see it.
Also, the moment that I liked was when one character was like, wait, are there ghosts? And then she was like, well, there's a gentleman ghost.
Hilarious. Did another great ref.
Come on,
another great. Fun. The touchstones on the DC universe here are really fun. And we will have to keep watching because I think we are going to get more of them as we head to the end of this season.
Also, what's great is no creepy kid in this episode.
Yes.
So happy we don't have to have a creepy kid anymore. What a big difference.
We had creepy adults in masks, and then creepy six-pack.
And there was creepy nurse.
Creepy
but
nurse.
There was no creepy kid, which was very enjoyable.
Dream come true. I guess they're finally getting your letters.
Yeah.
And thank you for sending letters, because people don't take the time to write a letter these days.
Yeah.
But guys, that's the episode. We do this show. We will continue on with the rest of the season. We do a live show called Comic Book Club every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock over on Crowdcast. Please check it
and
out.
And YouTube.
And YouTube. You can check us out at comicbooklive.com for where you found this podcast, perhaps,
Live.
And many, many more. We do a lot of podcasts about comic books and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. And folks, we will see you next time because we are Star Guys.